Do your sins send you to hell, or does not believing in Jesus send you to hell? Your sins don't send you to hell because Jesus paid for all of those sins.
Amen. That's right.
Past, present, and future. The only thing that sends someone to hell is not believing and having that applied to you.
Mm-hmm.
Not believing that Jesus paid for your sins and having that applied to you as a free gift.
That's right.
That's the only thing, the only sin that can send someone to hell. Mm. Wherever you're at, whatever you're dealing with, whatever state of sin you're in, the only sin that can send someone to hell is not believing that the Son of God paid for your sins, past, present, and future, by the cross, the burial, and the resurrection.
That's right.
That's it, man.
All right, guys, welcome back to Bible Line. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez, and today we have Grant Hermans here. Grant is going to be heading back to Indiana, but he's been here in Tampa since probably about January, coming to Calvary, and I've got to know him pretty well, and this is a really good opportunity to sit down and share his testimony. Grant, as you can see, real built guy. He's a very good football player, and right now looking for a team on the NFL, but in the conversations we've had, I've come to learn a lot about you and your testimony, and we've had some very good conversations about word definitions and all that, and so I thought it was good if you were to come on and share this with our audience, because once again, we have no idea who might be listening, where they are, and how God uses this. So
no doubt,
I'll turn it over to you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Awesome. So I grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Grew up there. Had a pretty simple life in Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up going to Purdue University, playing 4 years, left tackle there, and graduating, going undrafted to the NFL. Met my wife Purdue as well, so I have two beautiful daughters, which is pretty amazing. Can't forget that. But went undrafted to the Jets. Was there for 2 years. And then I've kind of been around team to team. So I went to Miami. I played here in Tampa for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm a free agent. So waiting for a phone call.
Yeah.
But just preparing, you know. And I know God will give me the opportunity. I just got to be ready to go when he does. So
absolutely.
Very excited, man.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, before you came to understand the gospel, mm-hmm. what did you grow up in?
So I grew up in Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up in the church. Was raised in all. Went to a catechism. Learned the whole thing. And initially, when I grew up, I believed salvation was through Jesus Christ, but also the sacraments.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to continually work for my salvation to maintain that state of grace
mm-hmm.
through the sacrament of confession and the sacrament of communion. And so what was believed and what still is believed is that if you die in a state of mortal sin, so if you go to confession and you raise yourself back up to that state of grace and you leave and you commit a mortal sin and you die, you will go to hell. If it's a venial sin, then you'll go to purgatory. You'll be, you know, worked on by fire for a little bit, and then you'll get into heaven. So that's what I grew up believing the majority of my life. At 18, about around 18 years old, I didn't see much change in my life. I didn't see much difference. So going into college, I wanted to explore, look at different things. And for a time, I considered myself an agnostic.
Okay.
So I just said, you know, I'm going to look around. I'm going to see what else is out there and come to, what I think is the truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at different religions. I looked at Islam. I looked at Mormonism, just kind of explored around. I didn't pick anything.
Mm-hmm.
I just looked around. And during that time, I spiraled into a deeper and deeper state of sin,
yeah.
A deeper and deeper state of addiction.
Yeah.
And it came to a point one day, it came to a head when I felt like I was being attacked from every single angle. I felt like there was no rest. And I called my dad and I said, Dad, I'm in a really bad place. I need help. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, open up your Bible and go to the book of Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, okay. And so I went over, I found a Bible I'd never opened before, never looked at before. It was given to me by our team chaplain. And I opened up to the book of Psalms. And on the very first page of the very first chapter of Psalms, there was a bookmark. And it had Jesus' face on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, his life, his death, our hope.
Mm.
And right there and then I knew, this is not a coincidence, right?
Yeah.
Like God is real and the path is through Jesus.
Mm.
But what I didn't know, I wasn't fully counting on the good news. It was still believing to turn from my sins.
So you grew up Catholic mm-hmm. and then you became agnostic.
Yep.
Would you say at this point, like now that you at this point you were pretty actively agnostic, is this the point where you'd say you began to seek after the truth?
I would say you disappoint when I get to seek after the truth. Yeah, 100%.
What made you turn from Catholicism? Like, what was it about it that just wasn't working?
Well, it was just the fact that I didn't feel like I had a fellowship with God. I didn't feel like I was close to God. And the other thing was I just felt like continually I was in a state of sin. And there was no freedom. I didn't have any freedom from it. And so I said, well, this obviously isn't working. This is not working, right?
I asked that because that's pretty much what I hear from a lot of people that leave Catholicism. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people who get saved. They get caught up in Catholicism. But more often than not, people are unsaved and Catholic.
Yeah.
So then they leave it. And most of the time what I hear people say, and it's kind of like what you said, is it wasn't working. Mm-hmm. It was like all this stuff to do with these proposed solutions, but the solutions never came.
Yeah.
I mean, we were just talking before the camera started rolling, like the constant state of fear you have to be in. If it's
fear,
like
fear and guilt,
if a mortal sin is breaking the Ten Commandments, a venial sin is like not in the Ten Commandments. Like, isn't the Ten Commandments supposed to be all inclusive?
All those
things, but
something small.
And then people that do have success in the Catholic Church, it's lifted up in pride. I was like, I have, and all these
taking
different
the focus
things.
Off of Jesus and
Absolutely.
Putting it onto yourself. Yep.
So you came across this bookmark. You're in a real bad place.
Yep.
What happens next?
Yeah. So, I start reading the Bible a lot more. Mm-hmm. I start getting into the Bible, and I do believe Jesus is the Son of God. I do believe in his work, but I don't fully understand his work yet.
Right.
And for the very prevalent idea in the culture is, you know, you need to turn from your sins and believe, right? Like, we have to do something. Something has
or
to be done on our part.
Believing is
exactly
evidenced by turning from sin.
Exactly. Like, if you truly believe, then you're no longer committing sin. Well, mm-hmm. we're human beings, you know.
Absolutely.
That's not realistic, right?
Kind of sin nature.
Exactly. So for me, it was, you know, how much turning is enough? You know, and I would still sin from time to time, or I would get caught in something, and I would go, well, I'm not really saved.
Right.
I wasn't sure. You know, are my sins really paid for?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, didn't feel like it because I couldn't see it, and you know, I thought I had to continue turning from my sins. So there was no assurance there, mm-hmm. and a constant state of guilt because I wasn't sure my sins were paid for or not.
Yeah.
And so you know, I went from there, and you know, I continued on with the attitude for a long time. I kept trying to understand the definition of repentance. What did Jesus mean when he said repent and believe, right? Mm-hmm. Was it repentance of sin, or was it repentance about who he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I came here to Calvary that I came to understand the truth. And the truth, it's the truth of John 16:8-9. And it's when Jesus is speaking of the Holy Spirit, and he says, when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me.
Mm.
And it was something that you said to me, and something that I've come to understand is, you said, do your sins send you to hell, or does not believing in Jesus send you to hell?
Mm.
Your sins don't send you to hell because Jesus paid for all of those sins.
Amen. That's right.
Past, present, and future. The only thing that sends someone to hell is not believing and having that applied to you.
Mm-hmm.
Not believing that Jesus paid for your sins and having that applied to you as a free gift.
That's right.
That's the only thing, the only sin that can send someone to hell. Mm. Wherever you're at, whatever you're dealing with, whatever state of sin you're in, the only sin that can send someone to hell is not believing that the Son of God paid for your sins, past, present, and future, by the cross, the burial, and the resurrection.
That's right.
That's it, man. And so when I came to that understanding, just realizing that there's an offer, there's an achievement done out there for every person, the whole, even the non-believer.
Absolutely.
There's an achievement that has been achieved on his behalf.
Yeah.
The question is it applied to him or not by belief?
Yeah.
Is it applied to him or not by belief?
And that's what I love. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2.
Mm.
And he is the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only,
but
for the sins of the whole world.
Yes, sir.
And like, it's funny too, because where that's placed is like right in the middle of an address to believers. Like, but John is also, he's articulating the sufficiency of the offering of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And so many people miss it.
Mm-hmm.
So many people miss it. And I remember in the discussion that you and I had, that word repent has been so twisted. But most of the time that it's used in the New Testament, mm-hmm. it's used as a change of mind. And so many people want to tack on a change of mind that leads to a change of action.
Yep.
But the change of action is to be determined as to whether the person decides to be obedient or not. Mm-hmm. And that's a matter of discipleship.
No doubt.
But as far as salvation is concerned, when is the payment that Jesus made and God accepted, when is that put to somebody's account? So the question has to be, is it done with faith and something else?
Yep.
Or is it done by faith whose object is Jesus Christ?
Yep.
And the Bible says, not me, because people want to get mad at me, dude. All the headhunters are coming out right now, you know?
They're looking for you.
But people don't realize, or they don't want to realize, or they've been deceived, that the moment of justification happens when belief is placed on Jesus Christ. So that's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
So if that justifies everybody from all sin, then any kind of turning from sin after that is a matter of the blessings of the believer, the obedience of the believer, but it doesn't make them more saved.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, Christ is necessary, but he's not enough. Well, yeah. I say he's sufficient.
Sufficient, and
that's because God has accepted it.
Yep.
So how is that? So now that you have this freedom, and I just have to say, like, the passion you're bringing, the confidence in which you speak this way, this is the stuff that I live for, because I want people to see.
Yep.
I don't care if they know who I am or who my church is. I want them to know who Jesus is and what God has done for them.
Yep.
You know, and to hear that from you, the confidence that you have now from the word, that makes me want to run through a brick wall. And I know I can't get through it, but still, it's like this is what it's all about, like giving people true confidence. You didn't have this in the Catholic Church. Mm. There are many people who are going to Catholic Church, you know, this week, who are still looking to achieve their own righteousness and call it God's righteousness. Mm. But we have the sufficiency in Christ.
Yes, sir.
Yep. So how has this helped now? You know, how old are you now?
25.
So 25, and you've got this freedom.
Yep.
What has it given you?
Yeah, so I mean, first off, just knowing that I have the truth. I'm grounded in the truth, man. Like, overjoyed, right? I can see the world how it's meant to be seen, right? Mm-hmm. I can look at an unsaved person and go, that person has an achievement done on their behalf.
Yeah.
And I can go up to them because I'm assured of my own salvation. Mm-hmm. I know that I have eternal security right now, right?
Absolutely.
Guilt is turned to praise in Jesus Christ, right? And so I can go up to that person, I can talk to them and say, hey, have you heard the good news, man? That you can know you have eternal life, that all your sins have already been paid for. Now believe it and receive it.
So you're talking to people about this?
Yeah, yeah,
dude,
man.
See, this is...
I'm going up to strangers. I'm going up to strangers in the gym, man. People I've talked to for just an instance. I'm going up to and say, hey, this is the good news, right? Like,
you could definitely get their attention, man, when you're racking 600, you know?
Yeah. Rack the 600. Like, hey, let me tell you some good news.
You're like, yeah, I'll listen.
It's not about the weight, all right? Something much more important.
So have you... Do you have any stories of people you've talked to about this?
Yeah. So the other day I talked to a guy. I was just chatting him up, and we kind of became good friends on the spot. And I felt a real urge to go tell him the good news. So I went up to him and I said, can I tell you some good news? But first I have to ask you two questions, right?
Yeah.
I said, the first one, do you think you're saved? Or do you think you're going to heaven? Do you know you're going to heaven? Or do you not really think about it? And he says, well, I think I do, right? And so I said, okay. I said, second question, if you get to the gates of heaven and you knock on the door, you know, and God says, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say?
Hmm.
Well, you know, the typical response that I've heard a couple times is, well, you know, I treat people good, and, you know, I try to do my best, and I work hard.
Appeal to good works.
Yeah, I appeal to good works. So I do all these things, right? And I said, what was the first letter of all those statements? I said, well, who are you putting your trust in? He said, me. I said, well, let me tell you some good news. I said, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down 2,000 years ago, and he paid for your sins, past, present, and future, by the cross, the burial, and the resurrection. And you can know you have eternal life when you believe in that, when you believe in him, that he did that for you personally. And he looked at me, he said, that's not what I expect you to say at all. He was a young kid, about 20 years old, about the same as me. He said, it's not what I expected you to say at all. But he said, I really needed that. He said, thank you so much, man. He said, I really needed to know that, because, you know, it's like we're all dealing with stuff. We all have stuff going on in our heart. But he's like, I really needed to know that. And it really that was something I really needed to hear. And he just said, thank you so much, man. Like, I really can't thank you enough.
See, that I think of John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is saying that right in the middle of an address to some very wicked Pharisees and religious leaders.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that. Number one, not only have you gained assurance of your salvation because you know you're going to heaven with the sufficiency of Christ.
No doubt.
But you also have enough working knowledge to go and talk to a random stranger about it and get them to the point of understanding what I thought, what I found out. This is what I have to do to receive it.
Yep.
And then what you say about the guy saying, thank you.
Yeah,
I've been wondering about this.
Yeah.
If everybody's honest, and nobody is. But if everybody just wants to be honest and vulnerable, whatever our culture wants to call it, people are thinking about this. They're thinking about dying and where they're going to go. Like,
especially in today's world, just how crazy it is, how random and sporadic it is.
You
never know.
And think about all the panic and fear that's come about with, you know, the virus and all that kind of stuff. Like, I remember 2020 when stuff started opening back up again, and I would go out and give tracts to people and just, you know, talk, you know, someone at the grocery store or whatever. People were a lot more receptive, I think, because death was on the forefront of people's minds.
No doubt with the virus, you know,
Yeah, people were experiencing very different ways of life, and family members were passing away. So you ask a question like, where are you going to go when you die? People are like, I have been thinking about this. Maybe this guy has some information for me. But the good thing is that you're actually giving them the truth. And that's why I want to make sure people hear that part, because you don't have a Bible college education. You know, you haven't been ordained by a church to go out and be an evangelist. You have the gospel. You have what you need.
You're armed. You're ready to go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's great. Can you share about the, you don't have to say the guy's name, but the guy that you were playing with on the Jets, and he had some stuff that was going on, and you guys had a conversation.
So a good buddy of mine at the Jets, you know, one day him and one of the coaches are having kind of a spiritual conversation. And they're talking about Jesus, and he said, you know, I don't see any freedom in my life from sin. I just, you know, when I come against temptation, I don't know where to turn, right? And so I talked to him, and I said, he said, you know, I still have guilt. I'm still dealing with guilt, you know, and I don't understand why that is. And so I kind of butted in, and I was like, hey, listen, like, Jesus has already paid the price for you. And I told exactly what I said a second ago. Like, the only reason someone goes to hell is for not believing that that price has been paid for them and not having a count on their behalf. And I told him, I said, you know, when it comes to freedom from sin, you know, we can count that sin nature dead at the cross. It's not just freedom from the punishment of sin, freedom from the power of sin. And that's what I've seen in my own life, too. I've seen freedom from sin that's I've been struggling with my whole life, dude.
Absolutely.
And it's counting that sin nature dead. And now I have a new nature in Christ, and I can live out of that new nature, dude. I can trust that. And it's not dependent on me. It's not in myself. But I look to Christ and I say, in Christ, I'm new.
Absolutely.
I'm brand new, dude.
So you guys were talking, and did he change his mind?
And dude, he was so appreciative. He was like, I get it now. He was like, I finally get it. He was like, you know, like, I don't have to think anymore. I was like, I can know.
Yeah, man.
He's like, it's paid for. And he was just so appreciative, man, because you could tell it'd been bothering him for so long.
Absolutely.
He'd asked me the question. He said, I was wondering when that happened. Like, when were my sins actually paid for?
Yeah.
And you tell it bothered him for a long time. He's like, when actually were my sins forgiven?
Yeah.
And I was like, they were forgiven at the cross.
Amen.
And when you believe, they were applied to you.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, you could just tell he was like, it was like a weight off his shoulders. he was like, oh, thank you, man, so much. Yeah.
I want to touch on something you said, because it's very important about the sin nature. Mm-hmm. Like, there's in Bible study and things like that, it's pretty commonly accepted that there's three tenses of salvation. And you mentioned two of them. Mm-hmm. We're saved from the penalty of sin because that's no longer on us. We're, you know, God has accepted Jesus. We are now, the word is used, justified. There's another accounting term, imputed. Mm-hmm. The righteousness of God has been put to our account. Mm. We're justified. People have said creatively, just as if I've never sinned, because that sounds like justified. Mm-hmm. I like to just say it means you stand, you know, completely righteous in the eyes of God.
Yep.
But we still have the sin nature here, mm-hmm. and Galatians talks about that. The sin, or the spirit, and the flesh and the spirit are against each other, contrary.
Yep.
But, and this is what people have to understand, and you've made a very good point of that, we have the ability to walk in the new nature.
And trust Christ's sacrifice.
The old nature is still there, but we can live to it in the truth. It should not have any more power over us, because it is reckoned dead. It's not going to send us to hell. That is no longer condemned, because Christ stood in its place, paid the price. But now the believer has this opportunity to live a unsanctified life or a sanctified life. And that player that you were talking to, trying to do.
You could tell this. The war was going on.
Yeah, but not understanding what this is.
No doubt.
And that's like.
And not understanding when those sins were paid for either. Yeah, he just was confused about that as well.
And that's the temptation that comes when people are trying to work for their own salvation because they know this still exists. Mm. Their old nature is still there.
I see.
And, you know, deep down in their heart, places that they don't talk about, they know I am not meeting the standard of perfection.
Mm.
That's why what you said about what sends you to hell is unbelief is so important.
Yep. It's the thing that made that for me made everything click. When I understood that there's a sacrifice done for everybody and it's just unbelief, that's the only thing that can really send someone to hell.
Man,
that made everything to fall into place, man.
We're going to have to start calling you Chaplain Herman. You know what I'm saying? Chap Herms.
Yeah. Walking around just talking to people, man. Tell them the good news.
No, but I remember we've had many conversations off camera, but one of the things I know I'm praying for you is whatever God has for you. I know we've talked about NFL career and all that. And sometimes for guys in your position, it could take 4 or 5 years and you're in your third year.
Yep.
Yeah. So we don't know what the future holds. We know one day we'll be in heaven. Amen. But there's so many opportunities for you that many people don't get. One of the things I'm praying for you is wherever you go next, because I know you said like sometimes you could get a call. And that day, you got to go to that city and like get a workout in, and then you might be signed.
You get a call today, and it'd be like, all right, jump on the plane at 7 o'clock, right? Pack your bags.
There's like so many opportunities for you to meet people.
No doubt.
You, like the way that I see it is God has a plan for your life. I know he has a plan for mine too, but his universal will is for people to get saved.
Amen.
And when he has children that are obedient and want to do that, as I'm seeing with you here, he's going to put you in places where – who knows, man? Like, you might go to Denver for one day, and then you get to lead somebody to Christ, and they're like, hey, man, it's not going to work out. And maybe before it would have been like, what a waste, but now it's like, what an opportunity.
So
like,
that's how I felt at the Jets, too. So I was with Tampa for half a training camp, and the Jets the second half.
Yeah.
So when I went to the Jets, I got an opportunity to have a couple of spiritual conversations, but the main one was with that player who was confused about when he was saved and when that was applied to him. And just talking to him and just clarifying that for him and having him know that he has eternal life by the payment of Christ.
Absolutely.
That alone makes it worth it. Even though I'm not currently playing for the Jets anymore, that alone, I'm like, oh, it was totally worth it to go down to New York.
Absolutely, man.
And do that thing up there, man. So.
And that is a different level of thinking that you can't get with anything else. Because we know, and I know you know this, especially because you deal with people in very high focus environments. Like these guys are trying to get their name in. They're trying to get taken care of because they are sacrificing their body. You told me some stories about guys. You just get hit wrong on the side of the head.
Paralyzed.
You could be paralyzed. Yeah.
Paralyzed,
So these guys are like high focus, high intensity, trying to make it with their opportunities.
Every
day, you go down with an injury, that guy is coming up.
Yep.
He wants to stay up. You know, and that we see that in the NFL all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to talk to these guys. And these guys are like, they think they're in control of their own life because they can control their workout. They can control what they put in their bodies, but they can't control injury. And they know there's things that are outside of their control.
Yep.
So now what I see in you is like life is no longer just like trying to get yours.
Yep.
You know, you have everything you need in Christ.
Yep.
So now let's go tell people about it and let's just enjoy it.
Yes,
because this is the one ride that we've got.
Amen.
And I love that, man. I think it's super cool. And I think that one of the most exciting things that I have seen is like when we were in my office and we were talking, we were going back and forth, talking like men.
Yep, we were 100%.
You know, there was no cups of
and
tea.
And I was still of the opinion of you need to turn from your sins, right?
Right.
Because that's so prevalent in the culture, man. You need to add on to the gospel. You have some part to play in that.
Yeah.
The truth is you don't.
I remember we were going back and forth, you know, respectfully with everything. We were going back and forth. I remember you left my office. And I prayed. I was just like, Lord, your word is sufficient.
Mm.
I don't want Grant to change his mind because I've twisted his arm. I'm of the opinion with everybody like that. I want people to be convinced by the word.
Yep.
And I prayed and I just let it go, you know? Mm. And then you text me the next day. I remember I was holding Remy.
Yeah.
And she was being so fussy, dude. And it was Sunday. And I was just like, anyway. Yeah. So I'm holding Remy and feeding her the bottle and stuff. And I get this. I remember I had sent you like 15 pictures of the chapters.
I was taking a picture of every chapter.
And you had sent some things to me, you know, basically saying you had changed your mind, but there was something about the thief on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted you to share that because I thought that was just very powerful what you had said about that.
Yeah. So, you know, changing my mind, I looked at two examples. Mm-hmm. One was Judas and Peter, just a comparison of the two. And the next was the thief. And so the thief, basically, like, if you look at the chapters of Mark and Matthew, it says that both thieves are blaspheming Jesus.
Yeah.
Both are reviling him. Mm-hmm. And so in the beginning, when they first started to get crucified together, they're both blaspheming Jesus. They're both mocking him, basically, right?
That's right.
And then they get up there, and they're both hanging on they're all three hanging on the cross.
Yep.
And the one thief changes his mind. And he looks at Jesus and he says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom."
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have any time to turn. His hands are nailed to the cross. He has no time and no opportunity to do good works, to turn from his sins. He has no opportunity to do any of that stuff at all.
Yep.
No time, no opportunity. He's sentenced to death, so he's got no time. And he has no opportunity because both his hands are nailed to the cross. And what does Jesus say to him? He says, "Today I will see you in paradise."
That's right.
Today, dude. And he had no time. He's sentenced to death and no opportunity with his hands nailed to the cross to turn from his sins, to do any good works. He did one thing. He changed his mind about who Jesus is and how Jesus can save him personally.
Yeah, man.
Those two things. He changed his mind about those two things, man. And the rest is history. And the other thief did not change his mind.
Did not.
He chose to mock Jesus, and he died an eternal death.
That's right.
And one of them's living in paradise with Jesus forever, man.
Absolutely.
But it's so powerful when you see that, and you see that all he did was change his mind. What the Bible calls your heart.
Mm-hmm.
He changed his mind, and Jesus said, "Today I will see you in paradise," man.
That's good stuff.
Just amazing.
I remember you texted me that, and I'm sitting there, I'm feeding Remy, and I was just like,
yes, "You're like, yes, let's yes. go." Because
that is. The discussion that we have back and forth is very rare today because many people get defensive and what's the word? Pride. Their pride is just like lifted up. They're like, "You know what? This guy, forget it. He don't care. Like he's a know-it-all. Like I know what I believe. You know, I'm going to go get mine, blah, blah, blah." Mm. But you came with an attitude of humility.
Yeah.
And even throughout the conversation, when we're going with points and counterpoints and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and I think we talked for almost 4 hours. It was a long time.
It was so long. My wife started calling me, and she's like, "Where are you? Get home, right?" I'm like, "Oh."
So we're like going through this stuff, but I could see like, okay, he's at least coming to the point where there's some discussion here. There's an opportunity.
Yep.
But I remember you left, and you're like, "I'm gonna think on these things. I'm gonna pray on these things
because I want the truth." I don't want to be living under a lie, and I don't want to see I don't want to see the same old me, right?
Absolutely.
I want to see a newness of life, and I want to be living in the truth. I want to be living in victory.
Absolutely.
And I want to be living in the truth, dude. I want to see the world the way it really is.
Absolutely, man.
The way the world really is.
So then I get that text, and you know, Feed and Rem see it. I'm like, "Oh, sweet." So then I go, I tell Kyla, because you know, I had told her, I was like, you know, pray for Graham. I didn't give her details or anything. I was just like, you know, we're working through some things.
Yep.
And I said, "He changed his mind." And she was ecstatic, and it's just great. And now it's like now I think that was like June maybe or July, and I think you were still with the Bucks at the time. Now you've gone through some things like some highs, some difficulties.
Yep.
But I've at least noticed, hey man, whatever happens, I've got Christ.
100%.
You know, so this is the assurance of salvation that I think many people are missing.
Amen. Yeah. Whatever happens in this world, whatever troubles I go through. It may not be in my hand, but I know whose hand it is in. It's in Jesus'
Absolutely.
Hand.
Absolutely.
And I have eternal security. So, you know, any suffering, any pain I go through in this world, any hardship or trial or whatever else, I know where I'm going to end up.
Yeah.
In heaven with Jesus.
Is it fair to say that you serve God now instead of out of fear, you serve him out of thankfulness and
100%,
joy?
100%. Because I know my sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
If you don't know your sins are forgiven, how can you serve out of a place of love and joy?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're serving out of a place of fear. You know, I gotta work hard, because if I don't work hard, then my sins might not really be forgiven, right?
Yeah.
I might not really be able to see a changed life. So I might really not be. No, you just need to change your mind, dude.
I remember we were talking another time too, and we were talking about how like people who are lordship salvation, like they think they have to commit their life to be saved or turn from their sin to be saved.
Yep.
They serve out of one of two positions. They serve out of fear, and the Bible says we're not given a spirit of fear.
Yep.
So that can't be true. Or they serve out of self-righteousness.
Mm.
You know, at least I haven't done this. They say things like, "I haven't been as bad as this person, and I've been doing this. Like, this is all to my credit." And that's what's so startling about Matthew chapter 7, that there will be people who call Jesus Lord.
Mm.
Lord, Lord. But then they say, "Have we not?" And they've done all these things.
Mm.
Wonderful works, miracles, prophesied. But Jesus says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you because they didn't do the will of God.
Yep.
And you trace that back to John chapter 6 where it says the will is to believe on him that has sent me.
Amen.
So you want to know if you've done God's will. Have you believed on Jesus Christ for the payment of your sin?
Yep.
If the answer is yes, you're in.
I've done the will of God.
And now it's like we can serve with a free mind, with liberty, and that makes, dude, that makes a legalist so mad.
And the great thing is, too, anytime you do have trouble with sin, or you do fall into sin, or do these other things, you can always go back to the blood.
Absolutely.
You can, at any moment, you can look back to Jesus and say, Lord, you paid for my sins. I confess these to you. I want to see a change in my life by your power. But I confess this to you, and now I know that I'm restored by your blood. You paid the price, and I can have that fellowship restored at any moment, dude.
Any moment. That I like that you said that word confess.
Yep.
Because that's the proper use of it
in
1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yep.
A lot of people take that to mean the sinner confessing sin to be saved. But this is the believer confessing. That word mean come to an agreement about what I said was good, God, you say is sin, and I know that now.
Yep.
And now, God is faithful to bring you to a right fellowship.
Yeah, and agreeing on the truth, right? Like confessing that the truth is those sins have already been forgiven. And I don't need to live in that because the blood has handled that already, dude.
And I'm going to run through a brick wall here. Seriously. But yeah, man, I mean, it's been great. I know you're heading back.
Here. A great blessing, man.
And this is the cool thing. Like, even though there'll be distance now, I know, you know, spiritually, we're all a part of the same body of Christ.
And family,
And I can pray for you, and you can pray for me, and all of you guys watching can pray for Grant as well, because he's going to have a lot of opportunities that a lot of us won't. But this is what we should pray for, because that's another thing I want people to see in this interview. Mm-hmm. There's all different types of people in the body of Christ. This is our 14th interview.
Yep.
We've interviewed missionaries. Now we've interviewed an NFL player, you know, and it's that's not anything like, woo, look at us, but it's like, look how the gospel is the same for every person.
And it's for every person.
Yes. How when the gospel is properly understood, it can, through the yielding of that person, it can lead to a changed life. And it should.
It should.
We shouldn't waste this time that we have here.
Amen.
But man, I think it's been great. I really appreciate you taking time write out your testimony and all that.
Yeah.
And we're going to be praying for you.
Thank
you, mind if we put your email in the description here so people can write to you?
Oh, 100%, yeah.
All right, that's cool. So if you guys have a question for Grant or you want to pray for him, his email will be in the description here. But make sure that you like, comment, and subscribe to the channel. Share this video. And if you have a Bible question, you can send it to us, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Mm-hmm. Take care and God bless. If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.